Amen. Can we give the worship team a hand real quick? They're doing a great job. It was fun kind of playing with you guys. More importantly, can we give God a hand this morning? Like, it's just a good thing to be alive. And while you sit down, I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them you look phenomenal. Tell them, especially if it's your mama. Tell her. Tell them. Thank you. Thank you, Joel. Y'all look great. The band looks awesome. Well, hey. It's Mother's Day, guys. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms here in the house and to everybody joining us online. And let me just start out by shouting out, like, all the mamas. So we got, like, the biological mamas, by the way. Happy Mother's Day. Sheila Castle, that's my mama, watching from Pensacola, Florida. You ought to know, Overflow Church nationwide. Let's go. Down in Florida. But yeah, happy Mother's Day, Mom. But happy Mother's Day to the biological moms. Happy Mother's Day to the stepmamas, right? Like, we're grateful for you guys. Happy Mother's Day to the non-biological mothers, but just the women in our lives that step in and help mother us. Can I get an amen on that? Can we give them a hand? Yeah. And I also acknowledge that today's a hard day for some people. Like, happy Mother's Day to the moms that may have lost a child. Maybe some of the women that have experienced, the moms that have experienced miscarriages. You're a mom too, and we recognize you today. Happy Mother's Day to the grandmamas. Can we give a shout out to our grandmamas and great grandmamas? We got, yeah, I love it. Oh, thank you guys. They brought that up like perfectly. I didn't even, they're like ninjas, stage ninjas. But yeah, so it's Mother's Day. We're talking moms today, and I just want to say on behalf of Overflow, we love you, moms. We're so grateful for you. None of us would be here without you, literally. And so we're grateful. Make sure to grab a flower on your way out if you're here in person and grab a picture at that beautiful Mother's Day setup that our amazing creative team put out there. That looks like, it looks so nice. It looks like it's right out of a GQ magazine. I don't know if you saw it on the way in, but props to the creative team for making that. And if it is your first time here, my name's Corey. I'm one of the pastors that gets to kind of serve and lead here. And I say one of the pastors because we have an amazing team. Last week, Pastor Chad dropped a word on us. Anybody here last week? Y'all heard that? Talking about the waiting room. If you missed that message, punch yourself in the face and then go watch it online. Now, don't do that because then you really need healing. But if you are new here, you may not know, but we're in a series called Healer. 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 And for the last like 4 weeks, we've been talking about what it looks like to step into healing physically, mentally, emotionally. The week before, Chad, Vipka Reese came and dropped a word on emotional healing. If you missed that, go online, check it out. It was so good. And like Joel said, next week, we're going to cover a topic. I'm going to share a message that's kind of near and dear to my heart. It's going to be Healer Church Hurt Edition. Because how many of you guys know sometimes churches can hurt people, right? Sometimes churches can get it wrong. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like and more importantly, how to heal from those wounds from kind of religious organizations and institutions. So it's going to be a good week. Come and join us next week. But today, it's a moment for moms. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to jump into a passage about two incredible women in the Bible. So if you have a Bible, or you have an iPhone, or an Android, if you don't love Jesus, you have an Android, whatever you have, I'm just kidding. But if you have a Bible or a smart device, man, open it up, scroll to it, go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter what?
10.
Nice. If you are new here, I believe preaching is best when it's not a monologue, but rather a dialogue, when we correspond and interact with God's word. And while we're turning there, I just want to recognize that today is a moment for the moms. And it's really easy to kind of like seize the moment when it's a holiday, right? It's Mother's Day. So if you didn't like love on your mom today or you haven't like get with the program, right? The whole day is about them. But how many of you know like there's moments that pass us by every day? Like moms exist on Monday. Can I get an amen, moms? Moms exist on Wednesday. Mom exists on terrible Tuesdays and awful Thursdays. Moms exist all throughout the week, but there's something about when we kind of highlight it, highlight the moment, we can recognize them. But what I want to talk about today is, the title of my message really is, don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. Because it's easy to grasp and capture the moment when we're all celebrating it. But again, there's moments to be cherished with your mother, and like we'll see in this passage, with Jesus himself every single day. Right? Like it's easy to be engaged in the moment with Jesus when we're singing faithful. Like that's why they didn't give me a mic up here because I can't sing. But like faithful you are, right? We're like, oh, Jesus, right? But how many of you know Jesus is there on Monday? Jesus is at your office on Thursday.
Like, that's just a cool fact. Like, this Holy Spirit, ever-present, omniscient, omnipotent, like, he's everywhere. He knows all things. And it's like, hey, like, y'all are like, man, yo, I love God. Like, we drive on the parking lot. There's something, like, anointed about church parking lot. Because you can be in the worst argument on the way to church, and then you get out and you open the door, and it's like, hello, brother, blessings to you. How you doing? And those weren't the words you were saying in the car. Your kids in the back seat are just like, are my parents two different people? Like, what? Can we just live at the church? Y'all are way nicer here, right? But we want to be able to engage not just with our mothers and with our fathers, with our family members, but with Jesus in the everyday mundane moments. In this passage of scripture in Luke chapter 10, it's really interesting to me because I don't know if you know this, but like back when they wrote it, Pastor Chad touched on this last week. Back when they wrote scripture, it wasn't like today where we can just text back, sup, what you up to? Nothing, you know, like they couldn't do that. Like they actually had to pay for ink and pay for parchment, and every word mattered because it was expensive. I was talking with Chad in between services, the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians, that's a short letter, and modern day equivalent to send one letter like the size of Ephesians would cost about $2,000 US. The letter in Luke, the Luke would cost about $8,000 to send one time to one person. So for them to write something down, they wanted us to know it was important. But Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it strikes me as odd because it's a pretty mundane moment. So let's just jump in and you'll see why I'm saying that. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, if you're ready, say yeah. This side of the room, y'all ready? This side, get there, come on. Online, I heard all of you in the chat room. Yeah, appreciate it. Verse 38, it reads, now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. So this is Jesus and his posse, his 12 homeboys. They like always strolled around together. So they come into a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Pause. What? Like today, women, you can own a home. Props to you. That's awesome. Hardworking women in and out of the home. We're all about it here. But back then, women were basically considered property. So it was very strange that a woman owned property. Like already, if you're a woman, you should be like, ride on. Look at Martha getting it done, right? Because like women were property, and yet she had established herself in such a way that she actually owned a home. So Jesus and his boys are walking through the town, and Martha steps out of her house, and she's like, Jesus, Yeshua, you want to crash here? Like, we got you. And so it says, and she had a sister in verse 39 called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me then. Verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Look at your neighbor and say, Martha, Martha. Martha. Something about when you say someone's name twice. It's like when your parent says your first and middle name, you in trouble, right? My mom, I could hear from a mile away, Corey Donovan. And it's like, oh no, what did I do? Like the just shivers down my spine. He looks at Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, I said this seems strange to me because check out what happened. Jesus was walking. A lady was like, hey, you want to eat here? He went in and two sisters got in a fight. That's what we just read, right? It's like, all right, cool. Thanks, Luke, for letting us know that. Like, it's not like super miraculous that two sisters got in a fight. Like, anybody have a sibling in here? Like, I have a sister and a brother. You fight sometimes, right? It's just part of my kids are like, yes, we do today, this morning. But siblings fight, especially sisters. And that's what just happened. What I love about this is Luke wrote it down because Jesus, there was a nuance in this passage that I think is so profound. Jesus was trying to teach us, even in the mundane, even in the everyday interactions, there's moments he doesn't want us to miss. And I think by kind of studying these two women here, we can really unlock the key to taking advantage of every moment Jesus wants us to experience, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. We can love on our moms every day, not just on Mother's Day. Amen, right? And so I just want to jump in and then let me start by saying like Mary and Martha, if you grow up in church and you speak Christianese, they've been preached on a lot. Like this story comes up a lot. Mary and Martha, Mary and Martha. And it's always kind of like Mary is like the worshiper, like, oh, she sits at Jesus' feet. Jesus, you're amazing. And Martha's the worker, like, gotta get it done, gotta get it done, gotta get it done. And it's like work versus worship, work versus worship. And it's as if this has been preached saying like, we should all be like Mary and worship and we shouldn't be like Martha and get caught up in work. But I don't think that's correct. First off, I don't think that's what the point Jesus is trying to get across because it's like antithetical. It's the opposite of what he's been teaching. Like literally, we said it a few weeks ago. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. In other words, the way we work and the manner in which we work is actually more worship than when we sing. And so I don't think here Luke wrote this down so that we'll see, oh, we should be like Mary and just worship God and we shouldn't work. Because again, that's opposite to so much of what Jesus taught. So if it's not about work and worship, what's it about? Well, I think it's about the attitude. It's about the attitude behind the work. It's about the attitude behind the worship. Here in Mary and Martha, we see two attitudes that are juxtaposed, that are opposites, that are different. And I think Martha gets a bad rap. Like we always kind of preach it, like don't be like Martha, being a Martha. And by the way, I apologize to any moms or women out there named Martha. That's like right now, if your name's Karen, I'm sorry. Like in modern day social media, like there's some great Karens out there. That just stinks. But like Martha was the original Karen. It's like, don't be that, you know, like, and Martha, it's like, oh man, like she gets a bad rap. Cause first off, she's a hardworking woman. She bought a house, props to you. Second off, she sees the opportunity to be hospitable. The Bible says we should seek to show hospitality. So she's like two for two. Then she starts serving and Jesus says, the greatest among you will be your servant. So like Martha is batting 1,000 here. And meanwhile, her sister Mary is just like chilling. Just hanging with, and we always like badmouth Martha and give Mary props here. But I just want to say, like, have you ever tried to lead a staff full of Marys? You don't get nothing done. They're like, oh, can we just pray today? And I'm like, yeah, and clean the floors. Like I relate so much to Martha. Like Martha's like an Enneagram 1 or 8 or 2. Like she's like me. It's like, I'm going to get it done, right? Like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. We'll worship Jesus in heaven forever. Right now, let's take the hill. Give me a water pistol. Let's run to hell. I'm more of a Martha. And I think, honestly, if we're all honest, we all got a little bit of both of these women in us. We all have like the, oh, I got to serve, got to get it done. And then at the same time, we have like the, oh, I just want to chill. Like, I feel like Mary was like an Enneagram 7. Like, oh, everyone loves me. But here, it's interesting because Martha gets that bad rep. Because she missed the moment. She missed the moment. Jesus literally said, Mary got it right, Martha. She chose the good portion and you're getting it wrong. And so I just want to kind of look at the passage and see why did Martha miss the moment? And maybe it's the same reason some of us miss moments God's trying to get us to experience. Maybe even today, there's a moment with your mom that God wants for you. And you may miss it. If you act like Martha. So the first thing I wrote down is it says, and this is so funny. In verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted. Everybody say distracted on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Distracted. She was distracted. It says, but Martha was distracted. How many of you know that one of the biggest obstacles to experiencing God's love, favor, glory, presence in your life is distraction? There's an old saying, the devil's in the details. I think more accurately, the devil's in distraction. Like some of you right now are not getting the word that God wants for you because you're distracted by Instagram. None of you, I know none of you in here, but some of you watching online right now. That's me. Literally, I go to churches and I'm like, oh yeah. And I pull up my Bible app and I'm like, cool, 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 cool. And then I'm like, bing. And I'm like, oh, look at that photo. Stories, stories. And then 10 minutes goes by and I'm like, what were you saying, Jesus? And literally, I feel like sometimes like we're in the right place. It's the right time, but we just don't give God our attention. And so we don't get the word he has for us. Like, God, give me a word. And he's like, I would if you'd pay attention. And I don't know, like y'all probably noticed with me, like I can be a bit ADD as a preacher. Like there's a reason we have blinds on these windows because I would literally just be talking Luke chapter 10, bird, and like I'd be over here. And it says that Martha missed the moment because it says she was distracted. I wonder what distractions are keeping you from those moments God wants for you. But there's a nuance here that I want to press into. It says she was distracted with much serving. There's a great book by Jim Collins. If you're a businessman or woman, I would highly encourage you reading it. It's called Good to Great. But the premise of the book is good is often the enemy of great. Serving is a good thing, but in the moment, it wasn't the great thing. You can be distracted with good things. You can miss God moments for good things in your life. I wrote it like this. You know, there's that old saying, like you can miss the forest for the trees. Like, oh, there's a bigger picture and I'm just so caught up little. I wrote it like this. Did you know you can be so caught up in working, you miss the job? So you're like, what are you talking about? Does anybody in here have a job? No one, two of you. No wonder we're broke as a church. That makes sense. cool, got it. No, I'm just kidding. You guys are generous. I appreciate y'all. Yeah, right? We have. I remember my first job. My mom, good mom, she made me get out of that. Like, I played 3 sports in middle school and high school. I made really good grades, and I was doing great. And I'll never forget, one summer, I was like 13 years old. My mom was like, you need a job. And I was like, what? And so my dad was like a manager at a car lot. We've talked about that before here. We did a whole series about Driven, huh? Get it? I'm into cars. And so my dad was like a manager at a car dealership. And so my summer job was, when I wasn't at practice, I would literally, my mom would drop me off at the car dealership, and I would get a brush and a bucket and a little cart, and I had to wash all 300 and some odd cars on the lot once a week. And so I just go, and car by car, I would just scrub the car and all that. By the way, if you're young, get a job. It's great experience. And you know the best part? You get paid. It's awesome. One of my favorite things was like getting that paycheck, and I'm like, oh, this is how life works. You work and you get an income. Praise God, right? And so I'm doing that, and I'll never forget, one day my dad comes out of the dealership, and you know, like, you just know your parents walk. Like, you know when your parents are happy and you know when your parents are upset. Parents, I don't know if you know this, your body language says so much to your kids. But I remember my dad, like, when he's happy, my dad kind of strolls. My dad kind of has a bounce to his walk. He's like 6'2", this big dude, and he just kind of bops, you know? Got a bop. But when my dad's upset, he walks like this. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they walk with a purpose. And I'll never forget, my dad comes out of the dealership and he's walking like this. And he comes up to a customer, he's talking to him, and he goes to another customer, he's talking to him. And I'm just watching cars and looking at all these customers. And finally, my dad has a moment. I'm like, hey, Dad, what's up? And he was like, I'm so fed up with these salesmen. And I'm like, why? And he goes, they're so busy working on the paperwork and staring at their computer and their desk, they won't look up and see that the customer is on the lot, and they forget the job is to sell cars to the customer. You can be so caught up with work, you miss the job. Some of us don't get the promotion and we don't get elevated at work because we're so caught up in the task, we forget what we were actually hired to do. What's the job that God has given you that you have been blessed with? I wrote this one down. Did you know you can be so caught up in parenting, you can miss the child? Ooh, right? Y'all like, chill out. It's Mother's Day, Corey. No, but We can get so caught up in parenting, we miss the child. Like, oh, I got to get them to practice. They got to make this grade on this report. We got to get them this scholarship. We got to, meanwhile, your kid's like, do you know my favorite color? Do you know my favorite restaurant here? Like, do you know me? We get so caught up in parenting. I got to be a great parent. We miss the relationship with the kid. I'll personalize it for you guys. I wrote it like this. You can be so caught up in ministry, you miss the mission. I don't know if y'all know that. Sometimes we can get so caught up in ministry, we miss the actual mission. It's like this, like, if you're new and just checking us out here, Overflow, like, we believe in Jesus and his word. Like, we say it like this: if you can predict your own death, burial, resurrection and pull it off, we follow you. We believe what you say. And there's one guy in history that did it. His name's Jesus. The two main differences between what we believe in every other religion is, every other religion, go and read it, check them out, Buddhism, Islam, all of them, like, they are all about us earning our way to God. Our religion is the only one where God said, you can never do that, but I'll come down to you. I love you that much. The second thing that differentiates us, I just want to let you know what we believe today. The second thing that differentiates us is Buddha is still in the grave. Muhammad's still in the grave. Jesus actually beat death and rose from the grave. It is historically documented that this guy was dead, and then all of a sudden he was alive again. We got the only guy that did that. And so we believe in him. And so here, if you put your faith in him, step one. Step two is you get baptized. If you've never been baptized, but you believe in Jesus, you're missing the first step. It's like building something and forgetting the foundation. You got to get baptized. And there's no course you got to take. There's no understanding. Literally in the Bible, you say yes to Jesus, immediate baptism. To delay the obey is disobedience. Right, parents? Mamas, you say, take out the trash. If the kid don't get up and take out the trash right then, that's disobedience. And all my kids were like, stop, Pastor Corey, please. But delayed obedience, so we get saved, and then we get baptized, and then what happens? Hopefully, when you come up out of that water, you're like, what's next, right? You want to take your next step on your God journey. And what we would tell you is, start serving and jump in a group, right? Get in community. And the reason we say start serving is because that's a great way to kind of lock arms with people to facilitate community and to help make an excellent gathering for more people to experience what you experienced. And I just kind of lay all that foundation to say, but what happens, it's so interesting, is we go like, yeah, Jesus. We get baptized, we're like, what next? It's like serving. We're like, cool, I can serve. I'll be on the coffee team, and I'm going to pour coffee. And then you're like, yeah, coffee. And then all of a sudden, it becomes about the coffee. And you're like, oh, I got to get the right grounds. Oh, don't mess up my coffee bar. Oh, I got to have my people at the coffee area. Coffee. And I don't know if you know this, but we don't need coffee to do church. Like, some of you are like, Corey, maybe heresy, right? Like, because if you're falling asleep, go get some coffee. Caffeine will help. But we don't have coffee because that's a requirement for church. We have coffee because we love you. We have coffee because it's a way to facilitate connection. It's a way to loosen you up and be like, oh, like a lot of us even walk in like this. Like even like psychologically, we don't realize it, and emotionally and spiritually, you may not physically be walking in like this, but on the inside you are. Like they teach you in psychology, I had to take a bunch of courses in that. They teach you if somebody crosses their arms, they're usually cold or defensive. Some of you are like, right? But people are like this emotionally when they come into church, and all of a sudden we give them a beverage that's familiar. And what do they do? It opens them up and they hold it. And even if they don't know the words and don't agree with what we're saying, there's comfort. But in other words, coffee is just a tool. But I've seen people in church get so caught up in the ministry of a coffee bar that they ignore people. And it makes me just want to like throw the coffee away and be like, you forgot the point. Like we do it on the staff level, like in the band and stuff. We can get so caught up and everything's got to sound right and look right. And then all of a sudden we miss people. We don't need a stage. We don't need lights. We don't need coffee. We don't need walls. All we need is God's people to come together to talk about his word and him and lift up one another. And that's church. That's what we're about here at Overflow. We're not about any of the physical stuff, but we use them as tools to facilitate the work of the ministry, to fulfill the mission. And here in this story, Martha was so distracted with serving, she missed the master. So the first thing we see here, you can miss the point. You can miss the moment if you're distracted. Everybody say distracted. Distracted. The second thing we see here, and this is fun. Verse 40, she said to Jesus, Lord, do you not care? I wrote it down. She assumed the worst. You know, you can miss powerful moments in your life because you assume the worst about things. She was like, it's not going the way I thought. So you must not care. This is the same sentence that his 12 disciples said on the boat. Like when there was the storm on the boat, they woke him up and what'd they say? Do you not care? Do you not care? And what I love, like we all do this. Like we all assume the worst. Like some of you are like, no, you don't. Like, yes, we do. Like just this week, I was trying to coordinate a ride to the airport and I called Pastor Chad and he didn't pick up. And I called his wife, Abby, who's on staff, and she didn't pick up. And then I called Joel and he didn't pick up. And then I called Will, our kids director, and he didn't pick up. And my first thought was, they're all dead. Or they all quit, something happened. Like my mind, like our minds just immediately go to worst case scenario, right? And we assume the worst about people. And then I had to check myself and be like, they're probably just busy, Corey. They have lives and careers, right? They have families. And sure enough, an hour later, they all called me back, which was annoying because I just needed one thing. But we just assume the worst about people. And I love that Martha said, don't you care? Like my expectations aren't being met, so you must not care. And I just imagine Jesus going, like, it had to be on the tip of his tongue. You think I don't care? I'm about to die for you. See, I wrote it this way. I think Jesus cared about Martha, but he didn't care about what she cared about. And you're all like, ooh, that's cold. Because how many of you know you can care about someone, but not care about what they care about? But it doesn't mean you don't care about them. And here, like, she was all caught up in the wrong things. It's just like, look, I don't care about that, but I care for you. And I think it's important for us to remember that just because somebody isn't caring for us the way we think they should doesn't mean they don't care. It reminds me, like when I was a kid, grew up, I told you guys, playing a bunch of sports, and my mom and dad both had full-time jobs. And my mom was my baseball coach and my basketball coach. My dad helped out a lot. But like, there were times when they both had to work and they weren't at my games. And I remember as a little kid, I'd be like, man, if they cared, they would be here. If they cared, they would show up. If they cared, they'd be here. And then as an adult, I look back and realize, oh, it's because they cared that they weren't there. Because they were working so that way I could afford the jersey on the traveling team. So I could be on the team. They wanted to be there, but it's because they cared that they weren't. See, often we put our expectations on other people. If you cared, it would look like this. It doesn't mean they don't care. And here, Jesus, like, it's so interesting. She assumes the worst. So she's distracted, then she assumes the worst. And then in verse 40, I love this. She says, Lord, do you not care? Tell her to help me. If you cared, you would do this. She starts demanding. She's distracted, she's assuming, and she starts demanding. She starts giving God her demands. And we're like, Martha, how dare you? But don't we do that? Hey, God, if you cared, you would heal me already. God, if you really cared, she wouldn't have left me. God, if you cared, I wouldn't have lost my job. And meanwhile, I think God's looking at us the same way he looks at Martha. You have no idea how much I care about you. I just wanted to tell somebody that today. Somebody may have came in here and maybe you're struggling, feeling kind of lonely. Maybe you're struggling just because life's hard right now. I just wanted to remind you, he cares. He cares more than you could ever know. He cares. She says, tell her to help me. Like, that's classic manipulation, by the way. I want Mary to do something. So Jesus, you tell Mary to do it. And y'all like, we don't do that. Parents, have your kids ever come to you and been like, Mom, will you tell Dad? Does that ever happen? Dad, Mom said I couldn't have ice cream. Would you tell her I can have ice cream? That's a manipulation tactic. Like, that's what that is. I can't get my way, so I'm going to manipulate someone else to manipulate the scenario so that way I can get my way. Some of you are like, I am manipulative. You may not do it with your parents. Maybe you're at work. You go to your coworker. Hey, will you tell the boss that it's manipulation? Yeah. It's classic. And Mary or Martha does this. Hey, Jesus, will you tell Mary to help me? Hey, God, will you, like, we do this all the time. Like, go on social media. Somebody need to tell her she shouldn't wear that shirt. So somebody need to tell them they too old for that. Somebody need to tell them they need to stop spending money on vacation, right? What do we do when we do that? We put ourselves in the judge seat. I know what's best for them. I know that Martha was saying, I know what's right here. I know what's best for Mary. We put ourselves in the judge seat, but careful when you do that. Because the Bible says the measure at which you judge, that's the measure at which God will judge you. Ooh. Careful in that hot seat. That is the judge seat. And so here she just drops herself in the judge seat. And it really all comes down to this. She was distracted. She was assuming the worst. She was demanding. And because of all those, she missed the moment. And it really comes down to that beginning of it. Like, Martha was getting it so right because she seized the opportunity. She seized the opportunity. She saw Jesus. She had the house. She was equipped and able. And she was like, Jesus. And she said yes to the opportunity to host Jesus, seek to show hospitality. But all of a sudden, the opportunity turned into an obligation. Something she wanted to do turned into something she felt like she had to do. And how many of us know that can happen so often in life? We say yes to an opportunity. I want to go to that church. I want to take that job. I want to be on that team. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks go by, 90 days go by, and what was an opportunity that we were happy to have turns into an obligation. And it won't be long before your obligation, like you start putting your obligations on other people and expect them to make them their urgent priorities. Ooh, that's a dangerous place to be. That's what Martha was doing. I said yes to this opportunity. Martha, help me, or Mary, help me. I imagine if Mary was there, she's just like, this wasn't my idea. Why you want me to help you? I didn't open the door. Like, I'm just vibing. But Martha's opportunity, it's like this. Often in life, we get to do things, but get to's shortly turn into got to's. I get to go to church today. I get to take the next step with God. I get to be on the coffee team. I get to run cameras. I get to play drums. I get to. 1 month, 2 months. I got to. There was a time, I don't know if you guys know this, but while I pastor this church, I also simultaneously pastor a church in Kingston, Jamaica. And we can't gather right now down there, so we just meet online. And because of that, I said yes to being the interim pastor here. And it's just been an incredible season. But like, y'all need to pray for your pastor, because like, pastoring one church is a full-time huge job. Pastoring two churches is insane. Pastoring two churches in different countries. Y'all just pray for me, please. I'm an idiot. But I'm loving it. I'm loving it. But I remember one time my wife, I was like, before we kind of got things in rhythm, Overflow Church and Zeal down in Jamaica were doing different series. So that means every week I had to write two different messages. An average message, a good message should take about 20, 30 hours a week to write after all the research and everything. So like 50, 60 hours of my week was spent writing two different messages and then working and actually leading the staff. I'm not saying that for y'all to feel sorry for me. Again, I'm an idiot. But I remember I had to go and record for Zeal, and I said it out loud. I went, my wife was like, where are you going? And I said, I got to go record the message for Zeal. And my wife caught me. She went, got to? Because we have this terminology. She went, got to? And I was like, you're kind of mad at first. You're like, oh, but she's right. I looked up at her and I said, I get to. I get to. Because I really do. I get to be here. We get to be here. Look at your neighbor and say, I get to. Tell him, I get to. You get to be here. Like, guys, I didn't say this in the first service, but I just want to remind us every time. You know you get to sit on a cushy seat? You know you get to have more than one article of clothing? You know we get to have air conditioning? We get to have a sound system? Like, the majority of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christianity don't have any of this. And God has given us so much, so we get to be here. But often our attitude can rob us of get-tos, and it can make us think we got to. And here, Martha's get-to became a got-to because the opportunity started to feel like an obligation. It's as if Jesus was sitting in the director's chair in this movie called Life. And he sat down in the chair, and things weren't going the way Martha wanted them to go. So what did Martha do? Jesus, if you cared, you would tell Martha or Mary to help me. In other words, it's as if Martha handed Jesus her script and said, hey, director, this is the way it's supposed to go. If you cared, it would look like this. Jesus, say your lines. Tell her to help me. And it's as if she was like, move over. I know how this is supposed to go. You just say your lines, Jesus. Just do it this way. And that seems absurd, but we do that all the time to God. God, if you cared, you would do this. God, if you cared, you would say this. God, why didn't you heal me this way? God, why didn't it work out this way? God, why did it? And every time we do that, we put ourselves in the director's seat. I mean, Martha was being so extra when in fact she was just an extra in this movie called Life. Like, I don't know if you know this, but if you believe in Christianity, it's one of the most freeing things in the world because you realize it's not about you. The movie of life is not about me. And that's a relief. And where was Mary? She was sitting at the foot of the director's chair. Said, whatever you want to do, Jesus, give me my lines. I'm here for you. And this was actually like, again, I was talking to Chad between services, and this was actually really profound. This was like a women's equal rights move on Jesus' part. Because to be a disciple, the actual translation in the Greek and Aramaic there, to be a disciple means to sit at one's feet, to learn at one's feet. And women were not allowed to be disciples of rabbis. Culturally, it was a no-no. Like, they were literally, it was illegal. Like, they weren't allowed to do it. And so Martha was actually doing what was expected, what was traditional. She was serving, she was working, and Mary had the audacity to say, I would rather be a disciple of Jesus and sit at his feet. And Martha came in and said, Jesus, she can't do that. Tell her to help me. Like, get. And Jesus had the audacity to say, no, women can be disciples too. Ladies, talk about a Mother's Day message. Like, listen to what Jesus said. You are equal to men. It is amazing here. This short little mundane passage is so profound. If we will not miss the moments, don't miss the moment. And Martha missed the moment because she was distracted, because she assumed the worst, and because she started demanding her own way. And ultimately, it comes down to verse 42. In verse 42, Jesus looks back and says, Martha, Martha, I care. Like, I see you're distracted, you're anxious, you're troubled. I see it. But he said this, Mary has chosen the good portion. In other words, to make the most of the moments, to not miss the moment, you have to choose it. You have to choose. I don't know if you know this, but every day you have a choice. You have thousands of choices you make every day. Some of us are like, I gotta go to work. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. Let me just unburden you. No, you don't. You don't. You don't have to do anything, but every day you make the choice to, and you have to make the choice to be in the moment, to not miss it. And as we wrap up, I was just thinking about, like, well, how do we choose? How do we choose things? And in this passage, we kind of see, like, the two women together give us a great MO on how to choose the right moments every day. The first thing we see here is you got to be capable. You got to recognize you're capable to choose. Everybody say, I'm capable on the count of three. One, two, three. Some of you just need to know that. I'm able. I'm capable. God has made me with the capability to do what I got to do and I need to do. I'm capable. And we see that. Martha was capable. She had a home. She was capable to host. Second thing I wrote down to choose, you got to be honoring. Honoring of yourself, honoring of God, honoring of other people. And we see that in Martha. She was capable. She had a home. She was honoring to Jesus and the disciples. The Bible literally, do I have any competitive people in the house? Anybody competitive? I am like hyper competitive, like borderline sinful. Like, if we play paper, scissors, rock and I lose, I need a minute. to chill. Like, I love competition. And the Bible actually says we're allowed to be competitive in one area. It says you're allowed to be competitive in one area. It says we are to outdo one another in showing honor. So as Christians, man, that's the one place when people walk into church like, oh, I'm about to honor the mess out of you, right? Like, oh, man, you honored me so good last Sunday. Whoa, I'm coming for you this week. Like, we're supposed to outdo one another in showing honor. In a marriage, you want to make a marriage sweet? You want to make a marriage intimate? Go wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to outdo you in showing honor today. You want to have a loving family, kids, to your parents? Man, I'm going to honor the mess out of you today. So to make choices, to make the right choice, to choose the right way, we got to recognize we're capable. We got to step into being honorable and honoring people. And the next thing I wrote down is we got to be open. Like, she literally opened her home. If you want to make the right choices, if you don't want to miss the moment, you have to be open to the moment. And then the next thing I wrote down, to make the right choices, to choose correctly, you got to be observant. They said she missed it because she was distracted. Well, what's the opposite of distracted? Observant. I pay attention. How many of us walked in here today and we weren't caught up in conversation or what we were wearing or the lights and stuff, but we actually looked around at the people? I mean, any of us walk in here today and go, hey, God, will you show me who needs prayer? Hey, God, will you show me who needs some help today? Be observant. So we got to be capable. We got to be honored. We got to be open. We got to be observant. Two more, like, to make good choices, to choose the right things in life. So you got to be selective. Eventually, you got to make the decision. Anybody indecisive struggle with being indecisive? You know, you are like spouses, you know, when you're like, hey, where do you want to eat tonight? I don't know. What are you in the mood for? I don't know. Like, it's like that meme from The Notebook. Like, what do you want? Right? People struggle with making decisions, to make the right choices, to choose the moment. At some point, you've got to be selective. And then finally, what I see in Mary here, she chose the right thing, but it wasn't enough just to choose it. It says she sat at his feet. She paid attention. She was fully engaged. Everybody say engage on the count of three. One, two, three. Engage. You got to choose to engage. Like, I'm here. I'm present. I'm all in. So really, to make the right choices, to choose the moments, to choose the good portion, as Jesus says it, we got to be capable, honoring, open, observant, selective, and engaged. Literally, choose. Y'all catch that? No. Nobody? No? Okay, sorry. I worked really hard on that, guys. I'm kidding. But guys, we'll wrap it up with this. I almost blew this 2 weeks ago. We kicked off this healer series 4 weeks ago, and I was supposed to preach the opening week, but I got COVID. And praise God, tested negative, I'm good. Some of you are like, what? No, tested negative, I'm good. So I was supposed to preach on blind Bartimaeus week one, and that got bumped back to week two. So a couple weeks ago in week two, I preached this message. Yeah, y'all know we're in this series called Healer, and I preach about blind Bartimaeus. And in the first service, it was like, yeah, it was awesome. It was great. And at the end of my message, I showed this video of my Haitian brother, my friend of mine named Piff, who was literally miraculously healed of an incurable disease. If you missed that video, please go back and watch it. Like, it just fires me up every time I see it. And so then in my message, I show this video, and the first service went great. And in the second service, there was a moment. And I preached the message, and it's going good, and people were responding. And I could tell God's moving and he's working. And so I finished my message, and the video of Piff goes, and I slide over here to the side of the stage, and I'm watching the video with all of you. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, my peripheral vision, just like my man right here is walking up. Sorry, dude, to call you out, but that was perfect timing. This lady walks up that I had never seen before. Like, she just starts strolling up. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in churches, sometimes there's crazy people. There's just crazy people sometimes. Like, I've had people bum rush the stage. I've had people try to, like, tackle me while I'm preaching. I've had people come up and, like, throw oil on me while I'm preaching. I've had people do some really weird stuff. Don't get any ideas. And so, like, this lady comes walking up, a very common stuff, and she kind of comes up, and I see her, and she comes right to the edge of the stage. So I've been down, and she kind of taps me, and she said, hey, can I tell you my healing testimony? And I'm like, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, we're kind of in the middle of something here because I'm supposed to go back up after the video. I'm like, you know. And I said, well, there's about 3 minutes left in the video. Sure, you know. And she said, oh, okay. But she was like, well, I just want to let you know that 50 years ago on this day, I was actually healed of partial blindness. And this is the 50th anniversary. So my daughter and I came to church today. We've never been to this church before. And we didn't know you were doing a series on healer. And I didn't know you were preaching on the blind beggar and getting his sight back. And I just wanted you to know that God still does this. He did this in my life. And I was like, whoa, very cool, right? So I was like, thank you for sharing that. And then she said this, if you want me to share it with the congregation, I can. And again, another rule of like preaching and ministry, don't give the mic to people you don't know because you never know what they're going to say, right? So I was like, maybe, you know, I'm like, I'll let you know. And her daughter sit down on the front row and her daughter is just crying her eyes out, just crying. And the video finishes and I almost missed the moment, almost missed it. Cause like what was usually going to happen is I would finish the service. The traditional way is I wouldn't hand the mic to somebody. But in that moment, I was like, man, I'm capable of making this decision. I want to honor her and you guys. I want to be open to Holy Spirit, what you're doing. I want to observe. Really want to see you move and work. I want to make the right decision and select the right thing here. And I want to engage in all that you're doing. So I was like, man, I'm going to make a different choice. And so I just invited her up. And some of you may have been here. And I said, hey, this woman came up and told me her healing story. And I just want to give her a couple moments to share it with you guys because I thought it was encouraging. What I missed was profound. See, it wasn't just that she was healed when she was 10 years old, 50 years ago to that day. Her and her daughter drove from Ohio because she was actually healed on this property 50 years ago on that day, back when it was Fair Plain Assembly of God. They drove from Ohio on Saturday to come and celebrate the 50th anniversary of her mom. Like, she had the glasses that she wore when she was 10 years old. She still had them. And then sitting here with me after service, she pulled out two pictures. One of her when she was severely cross-eyed and had vision issues. And then one after she literally said God told her to come to church, pray, and take off the glasses. And they saw her eyes straighten. And for the rest of her life, she never struggled with vision problems or being cross-eyed. Like, it physically, and she was like, that happened right here. And my daughter and I drove from Ohio on Saturday just to celebrate where and when God, for 50 years I've had, and we had no idea y'all were doing a series on healing, and we had no idea you were going to be preaching on blindness. Like, look at God. And I was like, wow, praise God. And I still almost missed it because we all were like, yay, God. And I was like, wow, we're really in line with the Holy Spirit. This is cool. But then the service ended and she said, hey, will you pray for my daughter, Sarah? I was like, yeah, of course. What's up? And Sarah was just crying. And Sarah came up and she said, I said, what's going on? What can we pray? And she said, man, and she could barely get the words out. She was like, when I was 24, I was diagnosed with this disease and it has been debilitating. I said, yeah, you're 24. I said, how old are you now? She said, I'm 31. And I looked at her and I said, did you watch that video? And she starts crying even more. And she goes, that's why I'm crying. Your friend Piff was diagnosed with Crohn's when he was 24. And he, for 7 years, went to surgery after surgery. And at the age of 31, after 7 surgeries in 7 years, he was miraculously healed. I was 24 when I was diagnosed. It's been 7 years and I've had so many operations and I want healing. And on the 7th year of dealing with this, I'm watching the testimony of a man that was dealing with this for 7 years. And we didn't know y'all were doing a series on healing. And I didn't know you would share that. My mom didn't know y'all were going to be preaching on blindness. And I can see that God has a plan. And we stopped and we prayed for her right in that moment. Because we didn't want to miss it. Guys, God is doing this kind of stuff every week, but not just on Sundays. Did you know God moves on Mondays and Thursdays and Tuesdays? He can move. And some of you, as I'm saying this, you're going, Corey, I've missed so many moments. I've missed so many moments. Like, even today on Mother's Day, I think like some of us are going, man, I wish I had my mom. I wish I could get some moments back with her. And I would say to you what my grandmother said to me. I wish I had more moments. I've lost both of my grandmothers, like many of us had, and they were great women. Mama Ziggy and Kitty, those are their names. We all have nicknames. When you get old enough in my family, you're given a nickname. I have Ziggy, Chicken, Ace, Rex, Kitty. But my mom's mom, they're from Texas, country folk, Southern Belle. And the first funeral I ever preached as a pastor was my own grandmother's. And I told this story about my grandma when I was really little. And my grandpa got me my first gun. I don't know how you feel about guns, but we were taught you have to respect them. You have to learn how to use them. They have to be used in the right way. And so he gave me my first little .22, and I'll never forget. I got my first little .22, and we got a little scope on it, and we got it sighted in. And they own a few hundred acres out there in Texas. And so we put a little Coke can down at the end of the pasture. And I remember I put the sights right on that little Coke can, and I had my little 22. It was my first time shooting it. And I remember I put the crosshairs right on that can, and pow, and the can didn't move. And I looked at my grandma and I said, "Mama, I missed." She looked back at me and she said, "Well, that stinks." You gotta love grandparents and their candor, right? She just goes, "That stinks. Try again." And I put those crosshairs back on that can. Think. I got it. I looked at her and I said, "I got it." She celebrated with me. And at her funeral, I told that story because it was a simple moment. But I'll never forget it, because so often in life, I feel like I missed the mark. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I could have done that better. There was a moment, and some of us here today, you're going, "Corey, man, I've missed so many opportunities in my life. Man, I missed so much." And I would just say to you the same thing my grandma said to me: "That stinks. Try again. Try again." Maybe even today, if you have your mom with you, after service, give her a hug. Tell her you love her. Because there will be a time when you won't have that moment. And if you're like me and maybe you've lost your grandma or you don't have your mom, I just want to encourage you to remember that your mom is in every moment. Literally, the word "moment" has "mom" in it. Every passing moment, just remember they're there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the moments we have with you. Jesus, thank you for getting Luke to write down this mundane story between these two sisters fighting to remind us to not miss the moment. God, I just pray that you'd help us not be distracted, help us not be demanding, help us to not assume the worst throughout the days. But God, today we choose the good portion. Today we choose to focus up on you, to focus up on what's important in life, to focus up on our family and what you're doing in us and around us and in our church and community. God, we choose it today. And Father, right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, for those watching online here in the person, if anybody needs to choose you today, God, I pray that they would. Just like Mary, that they would just say, "Hey, here's the director's chair of my life, God. I believe in you. I'm down." And if that's you and you want to make that choice, you can come and find me after service. You can go to the info bar. You can let our host know in the chat room. And God, for the rest of us, we just submit to your authority. We're so grateful for it. God, and we're grateful for our moms and the women in our lives. God, I pray that you would help us take hold of the moments today, that we wouldn't miss them, that we would choose them, and we would watch how you work in and through them. In your name we pray and worship. Amen.